Afternoon. Hello, hello, Minneapolis and St. Paul and every other city around us. How are you today? Welcome, welcome to Hidden Edges Radio. This is your host, the esteemed, I'm just kidding about that, Ellie Krug. So thrilled to be back with you again. We have a great show coming up. You are listening to Hidden Edges Radio. For those who are not our regular listeners, if you're tuning in for the first time, please let me understand. Help you to understand that the voice does not match the name. I am Ellen. I am a woman, but I also happen to be transgender, which means I'm one of the relatively few transgender radio hosts in the world. And there you go. That and $3.48 at Caribou will get you a cup of hot chocolate. We have a show here on Hidden Edges Radio, which is all about surviving the human condition. My regular listeners know that I always talk about the fact that all that I am is simply a survivor of the human condition. It's just that my survivorship is far more public than it is for most people because my voice does not match my appearance. And if you're on Facebook Live, and I hope you're on Facebook Live, if you are, then you know that you're here as we are taping this show. You know that I look pretty female, I'd like to say, at least average. Okay, we don't need to talk about that anymore. But I am not the only one who is surviving the human condition. Everyone listening right now, all of you, you also are survivors of the human condition. You are. And we are all trying to make our way through this life of ours. And in the end, all that we have is each other. Just each other's backs. That's the way it works. And I have a fantastic guest today who's going to talk about how a community in Minnesota, one of the ring communities of the Twin Cities, actually has had the backs of other people that came together over an incident that you're going to hear about in a second. So help me to welcome our guest, Dale Grunke, who is the mayor of Delano, Minnesota. You. Dale, how are you?
Good. It's a great day. We're here.
Yeah, well, welcome. Welcome to Hidden Edges Radio. I'm thrilled to have you here. You are the mayor of Delano. How long have you been the mayor?
I'm in my seventh year.
Seventh year. Okay, so it's, you know, kind of a dynasty at this point, all right?
We could say yes.
tell us very quickly, how big is Delano?
We're just under 6,000 for population.
Okay. All right. And it's in the northwest part of the ring of burbs?
Actually, west.
West.
We're direct
okay.
west
All right.
of the cities.
Yeah, I'm directionally challenged. You're here because there was an incident in Delano in March where there was an African-American family who had their house broken into.
Yes.
And then somebody vandalized the house with Nazi swastikas and some very horrible words.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that incident? And then, really, I'm having you on the show about the reaction that the community came together after that.
Well, thank you. It was one of those things where you do not want, it's not something you want to have happen. But all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, here's this incident at these people's residence with racial epithet on the outside of the house, inside of the house, and some destruction and some thefts.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. And so Delano, in terms of demographics, it's pretty much majority race, white people.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
But you have some people of color in the community.
Yes, and different ethnic backgrounds.
All right. And different religions as well.
Very much so, yes.
All right. So so this incident happens in Delano. How did the community react? And give us a little bit of an idea of where it went from there.
Fortunately, unfortunately, everyone really pulled together and we automatically had known that the public would want answers, number one. So our city staff, city administrator, school, faith group, everyone got together and did a huge conference call to plan our strategy to see what we needed to do. And that's how we came about with the vigil for the evening.
Yeah, so let's talk about that vigil. I mean, the Star Tribune covered it, you know, and it's a picture of downtown Delano where you expected, what, maybe 100 people to come?
Right. We hopefully would have a couple hundred people that would be there just to show their support.
And this vigil happened what? Was it in March as well?
It was in March shortly after we had the racial incident, yes.
All right, so March of 2017.
Yes.
And And Dale, instead of a couple hundred people, how many people showed up downtown Delano?
Yeah, the paper estimated that there was close to 1,000 people that came out.
And I saw that picture, and that's part of the reason why you're on this show, because what that grabbed me, you know, so you had 1/6 of the community
True.
In downtown after this incident, which horrible incident, which a African-American family was the subject of this graffiti and hateful words.
Correct.
So the town comes together. Then what happened after that? Because we as humans we're really good at like putting on rallies and getting together.
Yes.
The hard work.
Rah-rah.
That's right. But that rah-rah is very important. But because we're short-sighted, we're also busy, you know. And by the way, we're also afraid. We're afraid about what is the right course.
What we don't know.
Well, yes. And so but your community didn't stop there. You didn't stop with the vigil. You've gone forward. And tell us about what your city has done, because I'm in awe of it. I really am.
Well, Ellie, fortunately, before this racial incident even happened, a couple of our faith groups, ministers, had gotten together and already had some speakers lined up to come in just to start, you know, informing us and making us more knowledgeable. And so that was able to be done shortly a week right after that. We had a very well-known speaker come in, and we were able to go to that. But from there, we just set up the meetings that we started to need to have with the city and the different groups, and also just people from the public so that they could be involved with the grassroots.
All right. And so you created a commission, right? The Spirit of Community Commission?
We actually started out with just Delano United was the theme right the very first night, even of the vigil.
Okay.
And then that morphed into more of the Delano United Diversity Task Force.
All right.
And then from there, just now within the last month, we actually, through the city, formed the Spirit of Community Commission, which is similar to a planning commission or a park and rec commission, where they actually have some authority and report to the council.
Okay. And what are they tasked? What is the Spirit of Community Commission tasked with?
This is to come up with any ideas, more so to make Delano a welcoming committee or community in any shape or form. And it's not just due to the racial incident or anything else and bias that's gone on. Just getting to know your neighbors, because we're a community that's growing.
Right.
And when they move into a neighborhood, well, winter is horrible, number one, because you hide in your house for 6 months and you don't want to be cold. So what we've decided to do is get out neighborhood welcome groups.
Okay. Tell me about that. So you've got these groups that will go and visit a newcomer to the city?
Yeah, and be it known, this is just started. This is the theory behind it. We actually came up with a whole Delano Spirit of Community Commission. It was a welcoming packet that explains what we need to do with everything for that commission.
All right. And you're looking, I mean, this is like a real document. You've got it here in the station.
Correct. And so number one, the purpose would be to promote an atmosphere of mutual understanding and cooperation among all members of the Delano community, but building the spirit of community and improving public engagement within the Delano community.
All right. So, Dale, let's just step back for a second. We're Minnesotans, right?
Correct.
And the good news about us being Minnesotan is that we can come together, 1,000 people, when something horrible happens in our community.
Yes.
But we're also Minnesotans because we like our habits and we like our very close-knit, you know, family groups or friend groups. And so the idea that you're going to have people getting out of their comfort zones and going and meeting strangers or people who are different.
True. And the one thing with any small community, you're either related to the other person or your friends already, and your lives are very busy. So when somebody new comes in, it's hard for you to get another person into your life. You don't mean to do it.
Right.
But if you get them to be in part of your life and jump into your situation, then they're part of the community.
Right. But we also know that there's always,
unfortunately, there's an underlayment for a lot of people as it relates to race, as it relates to being, quote unquote, other in our society.
True.
And frankly, and you know, Dale, from our prior discussions, I mean, I go across the country talking about
yes.
human inclusivity. And until we at least admit things about there is this underlayment, until we at least acknowledge that this happens, we can't even begin to deal with it. And that's part of the reason why I love what you're doing in Delano, is that you're addressing things head on, face on.
Thank you.
And I know that it can't be easy.
It takes a lot of time, and it is just to get the word out to everyone else of information. It's just, it's what you don't know, you don't know.
Right. And when we come back from our break, I want to hear more about how you're getting the word out. And I know that you've gotten some assistance from some very big outside partners to help Delano deal with this.
Yes, we have.
All right. So when we come back, I want to talk about that. I've been speaking with Dale Grunke, who is the mayor of Delano, Minnesota, where about Delano's response to a horrible racial incident earlier this year. You're listening to me, Ellie Krug, one of only a handful of transgender radio hosts in the world, with Hidden Edges Radio on AM 950. If you like what you hear, visit my website at elliekrug.com and sign up for my newsletter, The Ripple, or email me at hiddenedgesradio@gmail.com. And we'll be back after this break to speak more with Mayor Grunke. Thank you. Mishad Cooley-Erickson, a mechanical and electrical consulting engineering firm in Minneapolis, supports inclusivity by designing spaces for all user groups, honoring inclusivity and respect. These spaces include gender-neutral family restrooms and nursing mothers' rooms. For example, Mishad Cooley-Erickson has designed lactation rooms for traveling mothers at the MSP International Airport. Designing these spaces has changed the expectations of similar facilities in airports around the country. Mishad Cooley-Erickson designed safe and comfortable environments for occupants who are their number one priority.
And the first sentence of his email said, "I'd like to stay anonymous." And the second sentence said, "I'd like to donate $1 million to the Global Good Fund. Where should I send the check?"
I'm Tony Lloyd, and I'm the host of the brand new show, Social Entrepreneur. If you love stories that engage, inform, and inspire, you don't want to miss it. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Lawmakers are trying to pass new anti-LGBT legislation. How does this affect you? Is your family protected? Do you have the right to make medical and financial decisions for your family? Are you the legal parent to your children? If you are unsure of the answers to these questions, it is important that you call Unique Estate Law now. This is Chris Timchuk. I've worked with countless LGBT families to protect their rights. Protect your rights now at uniqueestatelaw.com or call 952-260-1806.
And she was lying in the grass.
And welcome back to AM 950 and Hidden Edges Radio, where we take on issues relative to surviving the human condition and talk about how we treat each other and ourselves and about what it means to live authentically. I know, long reintroduction. I'm Ellie Krug, your host. I've been speaking with Mayor Dale Grunke from Delano, Minnesota, about the city, the town's reaction and coming together after a very unfortunate racial incident earlier this year, earlier in 2017. We're taping the show in December, sorry. In March of 2017, a very, very unfortunate racial incident. And Dale, when we broke, you talked about how the city had come together, created a commission, first a task force and then something else, and now a Spirit of Community Commission. And then I know that the big challenge has been to keep it going, keep the momentum going after this 1,000-person vigil that you had in downtown Delano. And by the way, listeners, if you get a free moment, just Google Delano Town Vigil, and you will come up with a picture of this downtown. I mean, literally, Dale, it was filled.
It was great.
There was no room downtown anywhere else. You know, and that picture doesn't lie.
Thank you.
So somebody came in afterwards, some big player came in to help keep the momentum for the city. And will you talk about that, please?
Yes, it was, and through all this, too, there's bad, but there's good that has come out of this, because through the Department of Justice, they had a representative come out and to help us sustain our efforts so that it last for 2 years or 3 years, or if I'm no longer in office or there's some other people that are not around, we have, you know, a guideline.
So, but the Department of Justice, the DOJ, I mean, no one dropped a dime to them. They just sort of showed up. Is that right?
Yes, and very much great support. We did not ask them to come out. I just happened to get a phone call.
Okay.
Or an email, one of the two.
All right. And walk us through that. I mean, did they say that you have to do things, or did they just say, we are a resource that we would like to help?
Very well put. It was a resource, and they wanted to just talk to us at first. So we met with them and then looked at all the opportunities there was there for just free help.
Okay.
And they came and...
How many times did they come out to the city?
I think they were here at least four or five times.
Okay. And how were they received? I mean, did the community welcome their assistance, or did some people view them as outsiders?
I think we were really taken back that they were there and they cared.
Okay. That's the way to receive help.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Because you do feel alone, too, at times, because are we doing what's right?
Well, and Dale, so let's talk about, I mean, these kinds of incidents happen at, you know, in different places in Minnesota. But when we were off air, you talked about how no one had the playbook for this. I mean, Delano has had to come up with the playbook on how to deal with this. Is that right?
Right. There's really nothing to follow, I'm sure, unless you would deeply resource it. But at the time this happens, things happen so fast.
Right.
That you just have to do, I think, what your heart says you have to do. And it works.
And not always, but I'm glad that it's working in Delano. So tell me, in terms of the city, has there been work to get more people of color, for example, in the city council or on city commissions? Has there been more, you know, what does the plan call for?
Well, we always have the option, anytime any position or anything is advertised for the city, anybody is welcome to apply, number one.
Right.
Any of our commissions, any of our citizens, anyone can join a commission, the city council. It's open. We welcome the people that want to be there, they can be there.
Well, and since this incident happened, have you noticed new faces? Have you noticed more people willing to become involved, either people of color or majority race
people? Yes, there are people there and people of different backgrounds that have come to support and be part of it. And it's still hard because to break those barriers, not from us, but I think outside looking in, for them to really realize, no, we do want help. We want you here. We want everybody to enjoy their stay here. We get better for it.
Right.
I mean...
And is that sentiment across the community, or are there some people that are resistors, and are they creating obstacles for the community? How are you dealing with that?
We haven't had anybody speak out against it or what we're doing. They might have their behind-the-scenes comments or whatever. I haven't heard any of that, or I haven't been talked to about that.
Okay. Now, I know that some communities take various approaches to incidents where, you know, race is the focus. So, for example, after Philando Castile
was shot,
the city of Falcon Heights had a great amount of suffering. I mean, there was a lot of distress in the community. Mm-hmm. And the State Bureau of Mediation Services came in and conducted some talking circles for community members. Have talking circles or anything like that been done in Delano?
We've actually had book reads.
Yes, okay,
where people can go to our library or the community center. They'll post the times and everything on that. So anyone's welcome to come to that. We've talked to our local Imagine Theater. They are more than willing to run like a public service announcement before movies in our theater right in our town. We've haven't approached them yet, but we're looking at maybe we bring in some really unique movies or short stories to talk about these incidences and experiences with people.
Okay. Well, and so what you're doing is something that I encourage when I do my work, which is using your imagination.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we get into our routines and we, you know, we only... Many of us, and I'm sometimes the same thing. I mean, we only think certain ways. Yeah. And part of this thing about inclusivity is about actually being far more imaginative about how we can draw other people in,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And what are you finding from the citizens? I mean, are they coming to you and saying, first of all, are they saying thank you for pushing these things? And how about for you, Dale? I mean, are you finding this enriching in ways that you didn't expect?
Yes, immensely. You just learn more and more in conversations with people, and it's really, really interesting. It really is.
Well, the concept of other is one that, as a society, we're becoming far more familiar with.
Yes.
You know, with, quote-unquote, the word other representing somebody who is different from us. And because humans are tribal in many ways, we want to gather around the people that are like us, you know, our tribe, and we don't want others to come in, the other. We don't allow others.
Correct.
And so, and I know that you are somewhat public about the fact that you have a son who is gay.
Yes.
And so you have learned firsthand about what it means to have someone other in your family.
Yes, and it is also such a great experience, because when your children are born, they're children. They're male, female.
Right.
And when they get older, they didn't change. They're still the same person.
Well, that is so absolutely true.
I mean, serious.
But not everyone sees it
right.
That way.
And it's not a choice.
Thank you for saying that.
It's
because
not a choice.
Because there are a lot of people that do believe it's a choice. You know, and I hear that quite a bit about being transgender, mm-hmm. that you made a choice to go from man to female, and, you
yep.
know, there you go. So now you're a mayor, and there's, you know, there is a Mayor's Association here in Minnesota, as well as Mayor Association nationally. So how is, you know, within your professional circles, how has what Delano's been doing been received? Because I can imagine some other communities in greater Minnesota saying, we would never ever be able to do this. Or I could imagine them saying, we don't have to do this. We don't have a problem.
Correct. And we had talked about this, I think, right immediately in March or June, shortly after, in our Wright County Mayor's group, because there's also groups by counties, the mayors.
Okay.
And they all wanted to know, what are you doing? And we just touched on it again this last week, and Dane Smith was out to speak with us from the Growth and Justice, and spoke on the rural and urban divide of areas too, how it's us against them. What I tried to tell everybody in the Ray County meetings was be aware of the fact that be prepared because this could happen no matter what to you. So be proactive instead of reactive to it. So we've passed on the information from the DOJ and the idea that we have with the Spirit of Community Commission.
Okay.
And they're very much interested.
So it's been positively received by other mayors.
Yes.
And how about, have you done any work with the governor's equity officer? So that, you know, the governor has a diversity and inclusion officer who covers the state, as well as the Department of Human Rights. Have you worked with either of those groups?
Not yet. We have not. But we were contacted immediately right after the incident. And I want to back up and call it a racial incident because some people just say it's not proper to just call it an incident.
Okay. Thank you. Yep.
Just to clarify that so that we understand really what it is we're talking about. But they wanted to know if they should be in touch with the family. So they did contact me. Going back to your question about the human rights, no, nobody else has been involved with us yet.
From the Department of Human Rights?
From the Department of Human Rights.
Okay, well, I have a connection there, and I'm going to actually talk to them about that.
Right, but I have been contacted by the Mayor's Association of Minnesota. They would like me to come and just speak and explain the situation and what our resolve was for that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, the family that was the subject of this racial incident, they didn't stay in Delano, did they?
No, and we talked to them, but there was just so much turmoil going on that for them with their situation, I think it was just better. They decided it was better to move. But they were very, very much impressed with the outpouring.
Right, but that's just so unfortunate that they had to move.
Yes, but how many of us are in a bad situation and you just want to be away from it to start over again? So yep. I don't blame
anyone. That's also part of the human nature. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, I just wanted to tell you I admire you, and I admire Delano, and I'm in awe, really, of what the city is doing. And so, please continue your work. Know that you have a friend here if you ever need one. And just, and thank you. Thank you for protecting humans, and thank you for knowing that you have to do more than just have a vigil.
Sure.
All right.
We're trying.
Okay. Well, I've been speaking with Dale Grunke, who is the mayor of Delano, Minnesota, about a racial incident that took place in March of 2017, and then the city's reaction to that incident. We can all learn from that. And I would urge you to follow along with Delano as we go forward to find out what other work they're doing in this area. You've been listening to me, Ellen Krug, one of only a relatively few handful of transgender radio hosts in the world. I like how I say that. On Hidden Edges Radio and AM 950. When we come back, I'll do my Human is Human and Odds and Ends segments. Thanks.
Lawmakers are trying to pass new anti-LGBT legislation. How does this affect you? Is your family protected? Do you have the right to make medical and financial decisions for your family? Are you the legal parent to your children? If you are unsure of the answers to these questions, it is important that you call Unique Estate Law now. This is Chris Timchuk. I have worked with countless LGBT families to protect their rights. Protect your rights now at uniqueestatelaw.com or call 952-260-1806.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m.
It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, like, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. The furniture business is one of those industries that's full of fake sales and false discounts. This is the age of the hashtag illegitimate fake president, and haven't you been lied to enough? That's why you need to check out Habitation Furnishing and Design. Habitation offers some of the coolest furniture in Minneapolis at fair prices every day. No fake sales, no phony discounts, just honest, intriguing, and really unique furniture. Check out Habitation on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park or visit HabitationDesign.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 26. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 22. And Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 18. Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants featuring high quality food and unique eating experiences. Local food, microbrews, original dishes, vegetarian options, and much more. Some Eat Local Minnesota restaurants include Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, Great Wall, and Seward Co-op.
Welcome, welcome back. We're here, AM 950, Hidden Edges Radio. This is your host, Ellie Krug. That was a great interview with Dale Grunke from the city of Delano, Minnesota. They are doing some fantastic things up there in response to a very, very sad incident, the racial incident involving a family. And, you know, what Delano is showing is that if you use your imagination and you are persistent and you get and you're willing to take help from outside sources like the Department of Justice that knows what they're doing, you know what? You can make some progress. And what I loved hearing from him was that he said that other mayors of other communities wanted to know what they were doing and that it wasn't being pushed back, but that it was being welcomed by other mayors, maybe as a template for the way that they will go forward. That is what we need. No one has the market cornered on knowledge. And certainly, when we come across situations that are so heartbreaking, we as humans do tend to run away from them. We'll react positively in the sense of, oh my goodness, but then we, you know, we go back to our habits, and in order for real change to occur, we need to actually keep pushing. You can't make change without doing that. All right, that's that. Now, this is my segment, Human is Human, where I take on a story and look at on a bigger picture of something that comes across my feed. And I've had in my back pocket from the end of November a New York Times question to their columnist, the ethicist, who is Kwame Anthony Appiah. I found this and I grabbed it and I put it aside because I knew that I would want to use it sometime in the near future. And so the question to the ethicist was, quote, "Should I keep working for a raging bigot?" unquote. And here's this the scenario, and that is, somebody wrote in who, and I'm going to quote from it a little bit from the New York Times Magazine post, and it starts with this: "I'm a graduate student in a program designed to prepare you for
a career working with rare books and manuscripts. I have a job as an assistant to a bookseller who is older. It is just the two of us, and he pays me very well, allows me to work the hours I want, gives me a good deal of responsibility and some good training. He is, however, racist, homophobic, transphobic, bigoted, and sexist. The writer goes on, who's posing a question, says, I am very liberal and find his ideas on many subjects to be repugnant. Though I've asked that he not talk about politics when we are together, he still does so from time to time. I often just let him speak. Debating with him just riles him up. And here's the question, specific question. I feel guilty that I'm working for a man who looks down on most people who are different from him, and knowing that he would never say these things or have hired me if I were different, of a different race or gender. My mind is seldom at ease at work. Is it ethical for me to continue working for this man, knowing how hateful he can be about others? Or the alternate question is, or is it okay because I am just doing this for the money and the training? It would never condone his beliefs. And so how many of us are in this situation where we are working, or God forbid, even worse, where we're family members of somebody who is totally intolerant and totally different than we are as we approach the world? Now, family is one thing, because with family, even though you can't divorce your family, you can tell them it's time to go home, or you can decide you're not going to go over and visit them. That you can do. And, you know, so in that sense, it's a little bit easier. On the workforce, when you're working for somebody who is a bigot, I really like that word, actually, because it really describes people very well. When you're working for a bigot, it's really far more difficult because your livelihood relies on it, you know, and everyone needs to make a living. And then, you know, and then we're in this what the ethicist calls a, quote, poisonous environment. And the advice back from the ethicist was, first of all, speak with a lawyer. And also, the ethicist said that it was good that the writer posing the question recognized they were privileged as white, cisgender, straight, and male. Raised the question, the ethicist raised the question that maybe if this person did leave working for the bigot, that all it would do is end up having another similarly white privileged person working for the bigot, and what would that accomplish? The ethicist recommended that in whatever ways possible, that, you know, the subordinate, the person who's feeling repressed, that person try and speak with the bigot in some ways. Now, I didn't find the advice from the ethicist to be all that agreeable for me. And so here are my thoughts. If you're working for somebody who is bigoted, you know, and who's espousing, it's one thing if they're bigoted and they don't talk about it. And it's also, it's a whole different thing if they are intolerant and then they're espousing their views in the workplace and imposing those views on you. Here are a couple of ideas for you. First would be, yes, I think talk to a lawyer. I think that would be incredibly helpful. In Minnesota, it is illegal to retaliate against somebody who is standing up for somebody who is being marginalized on the basis of an illegal category, on the basis of race, religion, etc. So it is, you know, talk to a lawyer. That might be helpful for you. But short of talking to a lawyer, you know, there are other ways to approach this. If maybe there's a board of directors that you could go to. Maybe there's a board member that you know. Maybe the bigot has a family member working for the business who is more tolerant that you could go to and express how you've been made uncomfortable. Maybe you could go to the spouse of the bigot. If it's a small family-owned business, you very likely will know who that spouse is. And maybe the spouse would be more willing to talk to the bigot. You know, courage is a very difficult thing to have. And we never know when it's necessary for us to turn and be courageous. And sometimes Just showing up is a sign of courage, even though it hurts your heart. These are not easy situations to get through. And certainly, if you have that situation, feel free to communicate with me at lejkrug@gmail.com or hiddenedgesradio@gmail.com. I would be happy to communicate and talk with you about a scenario like this. I mean, this is in part my business, and don't worry, I'm not going to charge you. When we come back, I'm going to do my weekly odds and ends, 1 and 2. And hopefully you'll find those of interest. You've been listening to me, Eli Krug, on Hidden Edges Radio on AM 950. If you like what you hear, email me at hiddenedgesradio@gmail.com. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you. Mishad Cooley Erickson, a mechanical and electrical consulting engineering firm in Minneapolis, supports inclusivity by designing spaces for all user groups, honoring inclusivity and respect. These spaces include gender-neutral family restrooms and nursing mothers' rooms. For example, Mishad Cooley Erickson has designed lactation rooms for traveling mothers at the MSP International Airport. Designing these spaces has changed the expectations of similar facilities in airports around the country. Mishad Cooley Erickson designed safe and comfortable environments for occupants who are their number one priority.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to find that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion offers more appliance brands than any other, and our passionate specialists are motivated to impress you so much that you will refer Warner Stellion to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around, check us out online, and when it's your time to buy new appliances, join nearly 300 Minnesotans and choose the appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
And we are back on Hidden Edges Radio. This is my odds and ends section, segment of the show. You're listening to Eli Krug on AM 950. Odds and ends 1 and 2. This is where I kind of touch on a couple of dabble and a couple of things every week just to get your thinking processes even more gelled. So odds and end number 1 is a story about, comes to us from the New York Times, a Christmas Day opinion piece by Tamar Maneshi. I know that I just murdered that last name. It's M-A-N-A-S-S-E-H, Maneshi.
I just did it again. Thank you. About it's the opinion piece is entitled, quote, "To the Chicago police, any black kid is in a gang." And Tamar goes on to talk about how he has a 13 or a teenage black son who is a good kid, you know, stays out of trouble. But apparently in Chicago, the Chicago police has a gang's database. So a database of suspected gang members that has 130,000 names in the database. And the vast majority, 90% of the names on that list are to youth who are black or Latino. And here's the kicker. There is no notice given to anyone if their name appears on that list. So can you imagine, anytime there's a traffic stop, the police are running the name of the driver and probably the occupants of the vehicle through this database in Chicago. And what the writer of this opinion piece, Tamar, writes is a fear that that his son might get caught, his name might be placed on the database. And of course, and he writes, and you know how the police can come up with excuses for an arrest. What I just stated was a very broad kind of statement. This is coming from the writer, not from Ellie Krug. I have great respect for our law enforcement, but I also know that when we operate from a position of fear, that we do things sometimes that we would not otherwise do when we weren't afraid. And so think about the randomness involved with that, that, you know, you don't know if your name is on the list. You don't know if the name of your kid is on the list. You know, and then how does that heighten the fear associated with being stopped by the police? So here's the question for my listeners in the Twin Cities. Is there such a database in the Twin Cities about gang members? Do we know that? I'm going to try and see if that exists. And if it does, I'll be back on this segment to talk about it. And I will want to know if such a list exists in the Twin Cities. How do the names of people get on that list? And is there notice provided to those people? I don't know. Stay tuned. Food for thought. Odds and ends number two comes from another Christmas Day article that showed up in the Washington Post by Fennett Neeropapal. And this is an article about how the complexion of the Virginia House of Delegates is changing. Now, if you're a loyal, regular listener to Hidden Edges Radio, you know that in the past we've talked about the elections that took place in early November where the Danica Rome, a transgender woman, was elected to the Virginia House of Delegates, and the history that that made, as well as the uphill battle that Danica faced in being elected. Well, this article most recently on Christmas Day really highlights how all the focus went on Danica, but there was a lot of other things that happened with the House of Delegates, including the election of the first openly lesbian lawmaker, who was Dawn, her name is Dawn Adams, who ran essentially kind of an under-the-radar campaign against a very well-established Republican incumbent. And the interesting thing about it is that nobody thought that she would win. She did not make her sexual orientation an issue in the election. She just did it literally under the radar. And one of the commentators in the Washington Post piece states that the Republican opponent to Dawn Adams had one bad thing going for that Republican legislator, and that was that the letter R was next to that person's name on the ballot. I'm reading this from the Washington Post. This is about Virginia, you know, a state that formerly, you know, greater Virginia, well, as in greater Minnesota, very heavily Republican. So Now, from that story, a couple of other things. There's an organization called the Victory Fund that helps fund LGBTQ political office candidates. And the Victory Fund reports that only 448 elected officials identify as LGBTQ. Only 448. By their reckoning, according to the percentage of LGBTQ people in the country as composed to straight people, by their reckoning, there should be 21,000 LGBTQ politicians, elected politicians in the United States. And here's another statistic for you. Here, Ellie Krug just throwing numbers at you. Here's another one. Guess how many states have never had an elected LGBTQ official? Okay, come on, come up with that answer real quick. Here it is. 13. 13 state legislatures have never had an LGBTQ lawmaker elected. So that means we've only had 37 states where that's happened. 13 in 2017 never had somebody LGBTQ elected to their state legislature. Wow, think about that. And think about the atmosphere in those 13 states. As it relates to LGBTQ people. You know, my work is about human inclusivity, and sometimes numbers really inform us about where that work is needed. Sometimes it's about where it is working, but a lot of times what those numbers show, those demographics show, is that there's so much more work to be done. Collecting data is also incredibly important. So whenever you're in a position to fill out a survey, to self-identify or identify family members, please do that, because that becomes very, very important. All right, well, it looks like we've got another show in the can, as they say. You've been listening to me, Ellie Krug, one of the relatively few transgender radio hosts in the world, with Hidden Edges Radio on AM 950. If you enjoyed the show, email me at hiddenedgesradio@gmail.com. Let me know what you'd like covered. As I've said before, we are trying to take this show national. I now have another show on AM 950, Ellie 2.0, on Monday mornings at 7:30 for a half hour. It's all a work in progress. A big thanks to our sponsors, the law engineering firm of Michaud Cooley Erickson, the law firm of Zahler Stout & Associates, and two new sponsors, the Pride Institute, which is a drug and alcohol residential center, and the Brending Electrolysis. Contact Bev, let her know that Ellie recommended you. She does great work. Be back next week. Thank you.